Blog Talk Radio.
Dallas, Texas, on Friday, July the 3rd, with the music of my friend from Venezuela, Carlos Guedes. We're going to hear a couple of things from him tonight. Today we will be chatting with our friend Carmen Maria Montiel. She is a conservative activist, originally from Venezuela, now living here in the Houston, Texas area. She's been very active in politics, as we will hear from her in just a second. I want to say a special hello to my good friend Roberto Alvarado down in Venezuela. We'll talk more about him a little bit later with Carmen, but I want to say hello to him and all my other friends down there who were very nice in posting the show down in Venezuela. So if you're listening to us down there, please saludos from Texas today. July the 4th, of course, is the big topic tonight. July the 4th is happening this weekend. And for many of us who came here as children, as I did from Cuba, this is a very special holiday because this is the day that the colonies broke from the crown. They declared their independence from the British crown, even though, of course, it took years for that to be realized. This has always been a very traditional and important date in American history, and we've often celebrated this in many ways here in the past. But this year there is a war against the United States, an ideological war against our nation, our history, our symbols, the founding fathers, and we have to fight back. That's all I can tell you. We have to fight back. The people who are fighting this war, they make a lot of noise. We all know that. And sometimes they break a few windows and burn a few buildings. But they're still a very small minority compared to the rest of us who believe in the country. So if you have an opportunity this weekend, show your love for the United States. And the way to do it is by showing the flag and just talking about the United States and telling your children about the great country called the United States of America. Let me say hello from Houston, Texas, to our friend Carmen Maria Montiel. How are you, Carmen?
Well, muchas gracias. Silvio, es un placer estar una vez más contigo. Thank you very much, Silvio, for having me again with you. But right now I want to say hello in Spanish. Quiero saludar a toda la comunidad venezolana que se unió a escucharnos esta noche. Y bueno, gracias por seguirnos, por estar pendiente, como digo yo, por despertar a lo que realmente está pasando, y por supuesto a Roberto Alvarado, que es, bueno, una gran herramienta para distribuir información y conectarnos a todos. Por medio de él llegué a ti, Silvio, así que muchas gracias.
No, very good, excellent. I'm also going to say something in Spanish too. Saludos a todos en Venezuela, aunque no soy venezolano, creo que nosotros los cubanos que hemos crecido aquí tenemos cierta conexión con lo que está pasando en Venezuela. Así que le mandamos, creo que tu perro, I think your dog wants to say hello too, Carmen.
Yeah, he's saying hello.
So, hasta el perro los quiere saludar, gente en Venezuela. But anyway, yeah. So I just want to say in Spanish again, saludos a Roberto y a todo el mundo allá en Caracas. Carmen, why don't we begin, as they like to say, at the beginning, and why don't you give us I know you were with us a couple of years ago, but well, there's probably new people who don't know you. So just give us a little story about Carmen, and you were born in Venezuela. Just pick it up from there and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, I was born in Venezuela. I am originally from Maracaibo, the Zulia state, which is very similar to Texas. I always say that I am in the right place. And I I am a former Miss Venezuela. I was Miss Venezuela 1984, Miss South America. Went to Miss Universe pageant and arriving a second runner-up. And I'm also a journalist. I came to the United States to further my education as a journalist and stay here. I work in television in Venezuela with Venevision. And when I came here, I worked for Telemundo. At the time, Telemundo was associated with CNN. And I have lived here. I'm very attached to work for organizations. And I'm sorry about that. Organizations, non-for-profit organizations, since I was very young, I still do that. But I'm also very involved in politics as a conservative with the Republican Party. I think there was something natural within me because probably family inheritance. But I say the most important thing for me is what happened in Venezuela. I think what happened in Venezuela made me realize that we need to be proactive and into safe, conservative principles, because what is believed to be liberalism in this country, which is different for, you know, European liberals and Latin American mm-hmm. liberals, is actually moving far left, that is really walking into destruction. And right. we need to stop that. Yeah.
That's right. No, and that's a very good point to start, the point you just made about what is happening up here, because, you know, we're accustomed to political differences, meaning we're debating about the minimum wage, or we're debating about Obamacare, or we're debating about a foreign policy decision, but we're generally debating, you know, center right, center left, you know, but both sides are serious about the country. But what is happening now is that you have a movement whose objective is to destroy everything about the country, you know, to basically just destroy our statues. Of course, the statues are symbols. And they're, you know, they're going after George Washington. They're going after Thomas Jefferson. They're going after, I mean, they don't even know who they're going after. That's another thing. I mean, the other day they went after an abolitionist. An abolitionist was actually somebody fighting against slavery. They went after a Catholic saint in California. They tore down the statue or vandalized the statue, I think, of Serra, I think, is the saint's name. And so these people are really out of control. Now, the good news is that President Trump has been very proactive, and a lot of these people are being arrested, and some of them are going to go to jail for a long time. But the battle is on, and my message to not just our audience but everybody is that we have to fight back. And I'm not necessarily saying go out and pick a fight with these people, but you fight back doing whatever you can do, whatever little you can do. You fight back. And one of the things that we can all do, Carmen, and maybe you agree with me on this, but one of the things that we can do is to make sure that our children understand what this country is all about and why they should be very proud of the country. And I think that's what everybody this weekend ought to do. Take a moment and talk to your children, especially if your children are at the university, and talk to them and say, hey, this is a great country. You have a lot to be proud of. And so that's where I think we should be going, Carmen, making sure that we tell everybody what a great country this is, Carmen.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I will disagree with you that they don't know what they're doing. I think they know what they're doing. I think the learning, what they've been instructed to do is just go and destroy history. And with that is everything. Destroy everything. Because it's about destroying history, it's about destroying religion, it's about, because what this movement is doing is just absolutely everything. They have to destroy the family because they can manipulate the individual better if they don't belong to a family, and then destroy the history and also take us away from our faith, because family and faith is the foundation of an individual of good principles. So because you wonder, say, why they're attacking, you know, the people that were fighting for them, or why are they destroying the Christopher Columbus statue? What does that have to do with their movement? And it's just destroy everything. And you know, already have talk about attacking the churches. And so that's what I think. And, you know, in Venezuela, and I believe in Cuba, the same thing happened, is they destroy history and then they rewrote the textbook.
Right.
And that's the plan.
That's right.
Because
no, and that's exactly right. By the way, I agree with you that they know what they're doing. In other words, in the sense that they're out to destroy. But what I meant to say is that they've destroyed a couple of statues that have nothing to do with, you know, with slavery or the movement, you know, the mistakes that may have been made in the past regarding slavery or whatever. But you're exactly right. I mean, that is what happened in Cuba. In Cuba, the Castro government rewrote history, and there were even some pictures that were literally changed. People deleted from photos and from pictures that all of a sudden, you know, there was a photo and the person wasn't there anymore. And I assume they did the same thing in Venezuela, Carmen. I think your dog wants to get into the show.
Hugo Chavez put his face on Simon Bolivar. So,
right.
You know, so he suddenly became the liberator of six nations in Latin America. So,
yes.
You know, but what's happening here is they're using the race card to destroy history. And that's
mm-hmm.
why they're going against everything. Because
that's
the
right.
excuse, they have to found a excuse. And the excuse here is, okay, is Black Lives Matter. And, of course, now go destroy everything. And it's just an excuse, because if they're really worried about Black lives, why are they not fighting in Chicago?
That's right.
That's where is the highest rate of Black death, and actually Black people killing Black people. So
that's
you understand
right.
that whatever their movement is doesn't make any sense. And
that's
why
exactly
they're destroying
right.
the statue. Yeah, that's what even destroying the statues and everything doesn't make any sense, because it's just an excuse to further their movement. And when you analyze these people, the three founders of Black Lives Matter, who are members of the LGBTQ, whatever, because they have so many new letters, and it's
right.
too hard to follow for me. It's, you know, there are supposedly Black Lives Matter, but as I tell you, why don't you fight the good fight when Black people are killed? But they're also working in the transgender thing, and they're working, you know, in so many things that is just the destruction of society as we know it, or as we were raised
right.
to be. They just want to get rid of it.
That's right. No, that's exactly right. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're destroying the foundations. Now, you mentioned Black Lives Matter, because one of the problems, you know, with Black Lives Matter is that they don't seem to be addressing two of the biggest problems in the African-American community here in the United States. The one is, you mentioned, which is black-on-black violence, which is scandalous. I mean, the number
yeah.
of blacks killing each other is in numbers that are just completely out of, you know, incredible numbers. Every weekend in Chicago, there's at least 10 to 15 people who are killed. And sometimes we're talking about two-year-old children who just happen to be in the middle of the shootout. The other big problem in the black community is the destruction of the family, where you have
yep.
a very significant number of black babies born out of wedlock, which means you now have had one or two generations of young black men growing up in a house without a father. And that, of course, has all kinds of unintended consequences, as we have seen in many of these communities. So I agree with you. Black Lives Matter is a domestic terrorist organization, and I am happy that President Trump at least took the step of they're arresting a lot of people. It's being done in a quiet way, but they are arresting a lot of people, and many of these people are going to find themselves in jail for a very long time. Go ahead. Go ahead.
These people, you said, the people, when you realize that these kids that are being part of the riot, you realize they're mostly young people. And, you know, I always mentioned and thought about it and said, well, where are all these kids? Where are the parents? And what happened is the husband of Alicia Garza, who is one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, one of the things, he has all these programs for youth. And apparently what's happening, apparently, no, what's happening is Black Lives Matter are running the youth juvenile programs in California and other states. So that's where these kids come. These kids are runaways. These kids are homeless. These kids have been in the judicial system because they have committed crimes. And then they take it to places and they feed them and give them a home, all in exchange that this is what you have to do when we tell you when to do it. So
right.
Thank God President Trump took the initiative to do what he's doing, because actually these kids that they helped to get out of jail and everything, now they're going to go. And it's sad, but these people are not helping them. And that's why they, you know, before Trump did what he did, and these people were getting arrested, they were all getting bail. And, Black Lives Matter and even friends of Obama, they were bailing out these people out of jail. And it's like, who are we? Well, what's happening with our country?
Right. Yeah, you're talking about bailing out people who are committing crimes. You know, you're talking about people who are burning cities. You're burning buildings. We just got the first report from Minneapolis that the cost of recovery in Minneapolis is, the first number is $500 million. I have no idea where that's going to come from, because we don't have the money in the federal government to bail them out. They don't probably have that kind of money in Minnesota either. And the businesses that have been burned, they're not coming back. We saw that in Baltimore years ago. Once you burn down these buildings, they don't come back, or the businesses don't come back. So they're going to have a lot of trouble rebuilding these cities. Minneapolis, we just saw what happened in Seattle, which is a total travesty, what happened in Seattle. But, you know, Carmen, as you know, these governments have a common denominator, and they are liberal Democrat governments who were unwilling to defend the property and the lives, really, of Black business owners, Hispanic business owners, and in many cases, immigrant business owners, Carmen.
Which is supposedly the people they defend.
That's right.
You know,
that's
the Democratic
right.
Party, you know,
that's right.
This is the contradictory part on the Democrats.
Yes,
is,
that's right.
You know, these were all cities run by Democrats, states run by Democrats. They did nothing into, avoiding from these to happen. And then these Black Lives Matter people went and attacked their own people. Okay, let's go again back on black-on-black crime. They go against their own people, destroy their business that they worked throughout their whole life to build. And when you see many of these Black Lives Matter people, they're actually white. So you wonder what's happening. So what's happening is the Democrats are the biggest liars, because if they really are pro-Black, pro-Latinos, pro-immigrants, why didn't defend these people doing the riots?
That's right. And it's extremely important to repeat what you just said, because the damages that happened in Minneapolis and Seattle, Chicago, New York City, Los Angeles, the damages were to businesses owned by Black Americans, by Hispanic Americans, immigrant communities. We didn't get too much of a problem down here in Texas, because I think our governments here acted wisely. But I remember reading the case of a immigrant family in Austin, Texas, who had their business destroyed. And this is a family that had come here from the Middle East 11 years ago, and they had built that business, and it was all destroyed. And so you're right. I mean, they pretend to be helping the Black people, the Latino people, the immigrant populations, but when it came time to help them and protect them from these criminals, that's what they were. They were criminals. When it came time to protect them, as they say in Spanish, se rajaron. They didn't do anything. You know, they simply cracked, and they wouldn't help them.
Well, that
shows
you they don't care. They really
that's right.
And it really goes to show you that they really don't care. They're just using all these small minorities, all these minorities to their advantage. But at the end of the day, they don't care about them.
No, that's right. That's exactly right. I think you and I agree 100% on that. When the time, when the bell rang, you couldn't find a Democrat anywhere near. And even the governors of these states tolerated a tremendous amount of violence. In Minnesota, the governor activated the National Guard on the second day of the riots, but the soldiers never showed up because he never told them to go there. So, I mean, this is dereliction of duty of the worst kind. Now, there is a silver lining to this, Carmen, and that is that many of the business owners in Seattle and in Minneapolis are coming together along with citizens, and they're suing the local government, and I hope they win. Because when you pay taxes,
exactly.
Yeah, because when you pay taxes, the least you expect is for the government to protect you, Carmen.
To protect you, exactly. And I hope they win, and I hope the federal government is not going to get involved in this because it was their responsibility to do
it. That's right.
And we need to understand this is a republic, and we have a federal government, but it's not the responsibility of the federal government. These local democratic governments are going to have to bite the bullet, and if since they were not responsible at the time, they need to be responsible now.
Yeah, and I'll just say one more thing before we're taking a break. The governor of Minnesota has requested that his state be declared a disaster area. Now, that's a very clever move because when the president or the federal government declares you a disaster area, then that gives you access to money. But a disaster area... Yeah, that's right. But a disaster is a tornado, an earthquake, a flood,
exactly,
a hurricane, not this. This is not a disaster.
Not this.
This was a self-inflicted disaster because they wouldn't defend the areas. Carmen, I'm going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll go on for a little bit. Hold on for a second, please.
Okay.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. We have the great honor tonight of chatting with Carmen Maria Montiel from Houston, Texas, but originally from Venezuela. I wanted to say a couple more things about Venezuela because I know we have a few listeners tonight down there. Number one, the music that we've been listening to tonight. In fact, it's usually the music that we listen to on our show is the music of Carlos Guedes, who is a Venezuelan musician who lives here in the Dallas area. And he, you know, he lets us use his music, and we're very grateful for that favor. The other thing I wanted to say, I know there's a lot of baseball fans down in Venezuela, because I know there are, because I know a lot of Venezolanos who are big baseball fans. But Cesar Tovar, I should say, was born on this day in 1940. He would have been 80 years old today. He was a great Major League Baseball player back in the 1970s when I was growing up, going to baseball games with my mom and dad back then. So let's get back to our friend Carmen Maria Montiel. Carmen, do you know, just out of curiosity, do you know Carlos Guedes, the musician, by any chance?
The musician? No, I don't know him. I've been out for so many years that there is so many things that I miss. I did something that is good. I became an American. And
right, no.
Never ceased to be a Venezuelan, but yeah. But I decided to really get into our culture and become an American. I'm very thankful of the things this country has given us and the opportunity they have given us. And you said something that we didn't touch when you did your introduction. You know, we are in, this is our independence celebration. And yet here we are in the year 2020. And we have to fight again for our freedom.
Yes.
We're
going
to have to go on a quest again to liberate the United States, but now it's an ideology fight. That's what
right.
it is.
Yeah, we're not fighting the British crown as we did 200 and almost 50 years ago. We're fighting now, unfortunately, some of our own people whose minds have been contaminated with all this hatred. And they're expressing that hatred by destroying statues and, you know, wanting to remove all kinds of things from our traditions. In fact, speaking of that, President Trump Friday night will be in South Dakota. He'll be speaking at that very famous monument, with the four presidents there, Mount Rushmore there in South Dakota. And, you know, they're already out there, I guess, protesting. The president will be speaking later tonight. And they're already out there protesting. And you know, it's like, I guess they have the right to protest. I hope it doesn't get violent. But, you know, that Mount Rushmore belongs to the American people. That's something that belongs to the American Republic, and we have to defend it, Carmen.
Well, let me tell you, what happened is like, would you break down your house? Would you destroy your house? You know, this is, you cannot go to the other side and destroy something, go to your house, say, well, fine, my house is better, because this is your country. You know, it belongs to us. Like you say, they're destroying the statues of our founding fathers. And mm-hmm. and actually, they were the people who make this country free and the greatest nation there is in the world. And why doing it? And that's what I tell you. It has nothing to do with racism. It has to do with, let's rewrite history. And, you know, it just shows you how sick this whole movement is. And I'm going to tell you something very basic. You know, you just heard my dog barking a little while ago. What do dogs do? You know, they do their poo and pee very far away from where they're sleeping. That's why the way you train dogs is in a little cage, because they wouldn't do where they are. Okay? And these people don't even have a basic animal instinct. Don't even mm-hmm. that, because this is your country.
That's right. No, that's a very good way of putting it. I like that little dog story quite a lot. Well, a couple of things I wanted to touch with base tonight. I hope we do this again, Carmen, because it's been a lot of fun doing this with you. But let's talk a little bit about 2020 politics. We're four months away from the presidential election. I don't take polls that seriously at this stage of the game. I just don't take them seriously at this stage of the game, especially with everything else going on in the country. But I am confident that President Trump will be reelected. How about you?
Me too. I'm completely confident. I don't think that Biden is a candidate that he should fear, because let's be realistic. Biden is not quite there. I think Biden has Alzheimer's. The guy cannot put two words together. And I hope the American people sees this for what it is, that the Democrats are so unattached from reality and the American people, idiots, that they're going to put a puppet in front while a little group of people in the back are going to be who really are going to be running the government. And that's their plan. And,
right.
And if people don't see it, you know, I'm worried. But I have trust in the American people that the American people are smart and are going to see for what it is. Yet, I tell my people, my Republican friends, is that we need to keep on working. We cannot mm-hmm. stop. We need to give the message, because they pull new things every day. And you have seen it. It's like one after the other, hoping for something to work.
Right.
But
no, that's right.
It's
going
to work.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think every not just Trump supporter, but really every conservative, every Republican has to vote this year. It's extremely important that we keep the Senate, that we reelect President Trump, of course, that we keep the Senate and maybe get the House back. That might be maybe a longer shot.
We need to get the House back.
Yeah, we got to get the House back. Because
the House back, Trump is not going to be able to do anything in these next 4 years like he has not been able to do anything in these last 2 years, because the Democrats are the majority in the Congress.
Right. And all they're doing with their majority is investigating Trump. I mean, that's, it's really been sad, because that's all they seem interested in is investigating Trump. Let me ask you one quick thing here. We have a few minutes, but COVID is back in the news. Now, I take it seriously, of course, as anybody should. But I think that from what I'm seeing in the numbers, yes, there are more cases. That's true. But that's also because we're doing a lot more testing. But if you look at the mortality rates, we seem to be doing quite well. I mean, the mortality rate, if you catch this thing, you're going to recover. Many people don't even know they have it or have to spend any time in the hospital, Carmen.
I completely agree with you. Listen, this is a virus, like a flu-like virus. The survival of this is over 99%. And, yes, there is more testing. Of course, there is, you know, more records of people getting infected. But, you know, now the mortality rate has gone down. But what they're not blaming is the riots also for the spike and the infestation number.
And
so
you're so right about
that. That has to come into the equation.
That's right. No, you're exactly right. Because if you look at the reopening plan, that Governor Abbott put together, Governor DeSantis, and frankly, most of the governors had a reopening plan that was fairly similar. And it, you know, it started at 25 and it went to 50. And our reopening plan here in Texas was actually working quite well. And then, of course, you have thousands of people in the streets. Well, that nobody thought that was coming. Nobody, you know, contemplated thousands of people in the streets. And I think that contributed to some of the problem. Let's conclude tonight by talking briefly about Venezuela. You may or may not know, but I write for the American Thinker, which is a blog here in the United States, very popular. Popular blog here in the United States. And I wrote a post today that about what happened to President Maduro of Venezuela, that he tried to take some gold out of one of the British banks.
Oh, yes.
Did you hear about that? Yeah. And I thought that
was
very
a
interesting.
Little while ago.
Yeah, but that was very interesting that happened because the judge or whoever it was in England knew what Maduro was doing. I'm sure Maduro, the official position was that they were taking this gold to buy some supplies for the people. I don't buy that one bit, Carmen, do you?
Oh, no. No, come on. They don't care about the people. Listen. The excuse is the people. If they care about the people would not be without medicine, without food, without electricity, water. You know, so this is like the Democrats telling you, oh, we care about the minorities. And when the minorities are in trouble, they don't care. So the same thing is with Maduro. They use the people to say because he needs something personal, okay, because that's the reality. Probably that gold would have ended up in his private account. I have no doubt, but the excuse is the people that he and Hugo Chavez had been neglected since this whole socialism of the 21st century won back in 1998. And so I'm glad that they stopped it and didn't allow him to be, and I'm glad the United States has pressed charges, criminal charges, against Maduro and the top people within the regime. And I hope at some point they're going to get caught. And in the midst of all of this pandemic that you would think the world has stopped, well, the DOJ has not stopped in this country because in the midst of the pandemic, they pressed charges. They, you know, they've been moving forward. They arrested Alex Saab and in Cabo Verde, and hopefully he'll be extradited soon. And that's a big fish to fry because currently, he's the right hand of, he's the one who hides the money for Maduro. So
right.
He has a lot to say, and that'll
That's
be
right.
interesting.
That's
and,
right.
And Maduro was saying a couple of days ago that Trump want to talk to him, and it was kind of funny. I said, like, you know, I always say, you don't negotiate with criminals. What is Maduro thinking? The only thing Trump can talk to him is to say, put your hands in front of you because
right.
there is a price tag for his head.
That's right. And I think Maduro, and this is my personal opinion, I think Maduro is looking for a way out because I think he knows that his days are counted. Carmen, let me thank you very much for taking the time to join us tonight. And I hope that we do it again. And I know that I'll invite
Anytime
you again and
sure.
we can do it again. And we can talk about lots of different things. And again, my thanks to Roberto Alvarado and everybody down there and take a shot at it. Carmen, say goodbye to Venezuela from Houston,
well,
Texas.
Thanks for having me and for being able to reach your followers. Y muchas gracias a todos los venezolanos que nos están escuchando. Vamos a salir de esta. Yo sé que ha sido largo y tedioso, pero yo pienso que, yo digo que los años 20 llegaron para cambiar muchas cosas. Y tenemos que luchar porque es un cambio ideológico que ellos no pueden ganar. Y ellos saben que la están perdiendo y por eso es todos estos coletazos tan agresivos que están pasando en el mundo. Pero el bien siempre triunfa, Dios está con nosotros y hay que seguir adelante.
That's exactly right. And what Carmen I'll tell you what, for the people who don't speak Spanish, I'll let you say in English what you said in Spanish. I can translate it, but I'll let you do it. So go ahead and say in English what you said in Spanish.
I have said that the 2020s, the decade arrives to change the world because we're in a very important time in history, that good always triumphs, that God is with us. And evil knows they're in trouble, and that's why there is so many attacks. And it's not only in the United States. It's around the world. This is global. And I do believe Trump needs to win to save the United States. When we save the United States, the world is saved. And then he has promised time and again that he will end up socialism. And he always starts with, in this order, Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua. And I'm trusting that that's going to happen.
That's right. Yes, that's exactly right. Carmen, thank you very much. Enjoy your evening. And enjoy, if you watch President Trump tonight, he'll be speaking later. Enjoy that.
I will.
And my very
yeah.
best to you and to your family.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work that you do on videos and all the other stuff that you do. Keep up the great work. We're very proud of you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Thank you
so much.
Have
a great evening.
Thank you. Carmen Maria Montiel from Houston, Texas. Those of you down in Venezuela, you know who she is. She's a very active lady, political activist, and has a history down in Venezuela, as I'm sure all of you know. And it was a great honor to have her on the show tonight. One more thing I just want to repeat. This is July 4th weekend. So make sure you celebrate. Normally we do. I mean, that's one of the great things about the United States. I've lived here practically all my life. And, you know, we always celebrate July 4th. That's one of the beautiful things about the United States. We have parades. We have music. We have great food, of course, family time. That's always valuable. But this year we have something else that we have to do. We have to make sure that these people marching in the streets, bringing down statues, we have to remind them that we don't like what they're doing, and we will stand up to them, that because we will defend the United States of America. So they need to know that. They need to know that. I plan to do that, and hopefully many of you will do it in your own way. But we have to defend the United States of America. You know, my family came here because we were running away from a communist dictatorship, and I know what that's like. I was young when I left, but I know a lot about what it's like, just like what is going on in Venezuela now. And that's not going to happen in the United States if I can help it, because I'm going to do everything in my power to defend this great country, the United States of America. Happy 4th of July. Thank you to Carmen for joining us tonight. And once again, a little bit of music here from my good friend Carlos Gueves, who is not just a great musician, but politically, he's with us. And so that makes him twice as good. Not only is he a great musician, but he's politically with us. His wife, Luisa, is also a wonderful lady, very active in the pro-life movement. So two wonderful people. Thank you for listening. Saludos, Venezuela, and we'll talk to you later.